this, presented by the Colgate Palmolive Feet Company, makers of Colgate Dentist. To clean your breath while you clean your teeth, Palmolive Shave Cream for smoother, more comfortable shaves. Can you top this? Starring Senator Ford.
Good evening.
Harry Hirschfield.
Howdy.
And Joe Laurie, Jr.
Hello.
And now here's Colgate Palmolive Feet Company's Master of Ceremonies, Ward Wilson.
Good evening, friends. Welcome to Can You Top This?, our unrehearsed give-out of gags. Our three wits do not know what jokes have been chosen until the people's representative, Peter Donald, tells them on the air. Our three gagsters have no scripts. They rely on memory and ability to switch jokes and make them fit the subject. If Peter Donald tells you a submitted story, you get $10 plus a phonograph record, personally autographed by our wits, of Peter Donald telling your story on the air. Laughs are registered on the big Colgate Palmolive laugh meter in full view of the studio audience. Each time the wits fail to top your score, you win an additional $5, which means you may win $25. So let's dig up and get on with the laughs. Are you ready, fellas?
Ready.
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. Thank you for the billing, Senator. Here's the first joke of the evening, and it comes from Robert E. Sotakowski of Chicago, Illinois, and it's on the subject of bus. Bus.
What?
Yeah, steer, you know. Automobile, bus.
Oh.
So. Surprise, Senator. I don't know.
You really gave him a bus in the house.
I thought it was my youngest son, maybe. I don't know. Well, anyway, Peter Donald, suppose you drive on. Start the evening off.
Well, a fellow named Frank Bostwick is traveling on the road. He's a traveling salesman. He's happened to be selling windshield wipers for television screens, so you only get clean material comes through there. So he's on the road with this thing, and he's traveling around. He gets to one city. And he's got to get out to a certain distributor, and there's a bus, and it's the rush hour. And he gets on this bus in this strange city, and it is jammed and packed. You know how the rush hour is on a bus, and the guy behind you is reading your newspaper, and the guy in front of you is turning the pages with his breath, you know. And so he's jammed there, and before he can ask the driver where to get off, he gets pushed all the way back to the bus, and he's jammed in there. So he's a little confused. He says, "Say, can anybody tell me if this bus stops at Elm Street?" So from somewhere, a little voice says,
"It does, wee boy, it does."
Well, he says, thanks, buddy, but he says, "Where are you? Who said that?"
So he says, "Well, I'm down here behind you." He says, "You've been hanging on to these suspenders for the last three blocks." He says, I'm down here."
Well, the fellow says, "It's very kind of you." He says, "I'm a stranger in town. I don't know where Elm Street is. Will you tell me when to get off?"
"Oh," he says, "sure, you just watch me."
Well, he said, "Are you going to Elm Street, too?"
He says, no, I'm going much further on. So you just watch me and you get off the bus five blocks before I do."
Well, you better pay another fare, too, Pete. That was a rather faulty 800 there. It was prematurely 600.
Well, that isn't faulty. That's better than average. 500 would be average. I'll stick up for you, Pete.
Yeah. Well, all right. Mr. Palmolive, however, says it was...
Probably better than I'll do.
Well, that's what we have yet to see, the three of you over there. But Mr. Solikowski has $800 to start with, and that means $10, and whether you top him or not, we shall now see as we go in quest of jokes with Joe Laurie, Jr. first.
A little Italian fella goes up to a fella, he says, "I want to go to Newark, New Jersey." He says, "What bus do I take?" So the fella says, "You take bus number 410. He says, grazie. So 2 hours later, the guy happens to pass the corner, and there's the little Italian fellow standing there. He says, "Didn't you get your bus yet for Newark?" He says, "It won't have to wait too long. 400 pass, only wait for 10 more.
Well, I won't keep you waiting either, Joe. That was assuming 1,000 on the Colgate Palmolive laugh meter. And congratulations on your linguistic ability,
too. Huh?
I didn't know that you spoke foreign languages, but...
They're foreign to me.
Let's see what Harry Hirschfield has to offer.
There's a kind of a goofish moron. He's getting a job.
Goofish
moron? He wants a job as a...
driving a bus. They said, you ever drive a bus before? He said, no. Well, he said, all you have to do is watch out for courtesy. You got to think of the passengers. Different passengers will come on and give you the names of streets. And all you remember is when they tell you the name of the street that they want, you just remember it. So the first guy on, he said, I can do that. So the first guy comes on and said, Cherry Street. He said, yeah, Cherry Street, Cherry Street. Another guy says, Grand Boulevard. He said, oh, Grand Boulevard, Grand Boulevard. Another guy says, Maple Street. Maple Street, yeah, 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 Maple Street. Another guy comes up and says, I want Utica Avenue. He says, Utica Avenue. Finally, another guy comes on and says, I want Grand Boulevard. He says, you have to take another street. Somebody just took Grand Boulevard.
And, Harry, you took the Colgate Palmolive Laugh Meter for a ride, too. 1,000, to be exact. Having topped Mr. Solikowski's original 800, he still has that lonesome $10. And we move over to Senator Ford for our third gag of the round.
Well, there were two men talking and two young fellows, and one of them's father was a sculptor. So he said to the other fellow, he says, you know, my father made a bust of me. The other fellow says, don't blame the old man for everything. You know, that's what I thought of when I thought you said bust. You know, I thought of a sculptor right away.
Well, I'm glad you got it in anyway, Senator.
Well, I thought I'd throw it in as long as I thought of it. Well, talking about buses, I got another terrible shock today. A green bus actually stopped at a red light again. Well, talking about buses, which I think we were, up in my hometown, there's an old fellow by the name of Noah who runs a bus. He operates a bus up there. It isn't one of those modern buses like ours, you know. It's so far as buses run. This one just about runs. That's about all. And the townsfolk, they make cracks about it. And one day, the town clown stopped the bus, and he says, hey, Noah, is your ark all filled? Noah says, nope, room for one more jackass. Get in.
We had room for one more 1,000 that time on the Palmolive Colgate Laugh Meter, Senator. So each of our three wits were successful this time in topping Mr. Solikowski's original 800. So I'm afraid we'll have to leave him with his original investment of $10. We'll send that along with the compliments of Colgate Dental Cream. We can't send him a 1,000 club certificate, but I tell you what we can do. We can send him a copy of that laugh-packed and brand-new joke book, Cream of the Crop, written by our three wits. And in addition, we're sending Mr. Solikowski a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling his story on the air. And now here's Ron Rawson with an important message.
Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. No other toothpaste does a better job of cleaning your teeth than Colgate Dental Cream. For Colgate Dental Cream has a safe polishing agent that cleans your teeth both gently and thoroughly, brings out their natural sparkle and beauty. You can actually see and feel the difference. And scientific tests prove that Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. Yes, actual scientific tests prove conclusively that in 7 out of 10 cases, Colgate Dental Cream instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. Colgate Dental Cream is famous for its wonderful wake-up flavor, too. Nationwide tests of leading toothpaste prove that Colgate Dental Cream is preferred for flavor over other brands tested. And no wonder, for Colgate Dental Cream is the result of constant effort to produce the finest toothpaste in the world today for cleaning teeth, for flavor, for sweetening breath. So try Colgate Dental Cream to bring out the natural sparkle and beauty of your teeth for a wake-up flavor you'll thoroughly enjoy. And always use Colgate Dental Cream after you eat and before every date to clean your breath while you clean your teeth.
Well, men, let's dig in once again and see what we have to offer in another round of wit and humor here. Here's a joke which was sent in by T. Curtis Cutts of Bradford, Massachusetts. And the subject of this joke is something I know you're all very familiar with. Honesty. Honesty.
You want to bet?
Not too much, Joe, at this point. However, let's get over and speaking of bets, here's a good one in Peter Donald.
Well,
Well, this is the owner of a large estate, an elderly gentleman. And he had these beautiful, beautiful grounds and everything, but he got a little trouble because all the kids in the neighborhood would make raids on his orchard and they'd steal all his fruit. So he was a very kind, sweet old man, and he thought that rather than chastising these kids, he'd win them over to honesty. So he decided to give a big party, and he invited all these little roughnecks, all these little kids, and he stuffed them with strawberries and cream and everything. They had a terrific time. And finally, when they were having the happiest time of the day, he thought maybe he could draw a little moral lesson.
So he said, "Now, boys," he said, "tell me honestly, would those berries have tasted as good if you had stolen them?"
And all the little kids with the pink cheeks looked at him.
They said, "No, sir, those berries would not have tasted as good if we had stolen them."
He said, "That's right, my little men. And can you tell me why?"
He said, "Yeah, because we wouldn't have had no cream and sugar on them."
Mentioning sugar, that sounded kind of sweet to Mr. Cutts, I imagine, Peter. 1,000 on the Colgate Palmolive shave meter, making the cause most desperate for our three wits now as they try not only failingly to top it, but just to tie it. All three hands are up like eager beavers, though. So let's jump over to Senator Ford and start festivities.
Oh, brother, here's a very, very old gag on honesty. At one of those meetings where people give testimonials, a fella got up and began to tell about the first time he had a pang of conscience. He said, "I went into a shoe store. The proprietor was in the back. There was nobody around. And I got the impulse to walk over and steal a $5 pair of shoes. But," he said, "suddenly a still small voice stopped me. And I didn't steal those $5 shoes. I reached up on another shelf and stole a $7 pair." Then there's another one I could tell that might go in there. That's too old to tell, I think. That's why I was not going.
Well, I don't know.
I could tell another one would be on honesty. You want me to tell another one?
Yeah, I think it'd be very good.
Well, Aunt Nellie took her two little nieces. They were about 10 or 12 years old. You know how kids are these days, these modern kids. She took them to the zoo. And when they came to the ostrich cage, the old lady began to give out with the story of the fabulous bird and how it brought babies. One kid winked at the other one and says, "Don't you think it's about time we told the old lady the truth?"
They should have been reversed, Senator. The first one got 600 on the Colgate Palmolive shave meter, and the other one got 1,000. So
that's all right. Count the honest one, the first one.
Okay, the 600 goes in. You're out in a fruitless chase anyway. So, Harry Hirschfield, how about you?
I thought of a couple of here screwball gags I've heard in the last few days that fit in this. One I want to toss in first. A salesman comes off the road. So he starts telling about his conquests. He said, "I met a girl in Detroit, and I don't know whether I should or not." He says, "I promised to telephone her the minute I got back here." He said, "I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't call her beautiful. I wouldn't call her intelligent." The other guy says, "I wouldn't call her." Here's another screwball gag. A guy runs in with his little boy, and he runs into a doctor, says, "Doctor, quick, do something for the boy." So the doctor takes his stethoscope and he puts it on the kid's chest, and he says, "Uh-huh, that heart, the tick of that heart. Uh-huh, this is not for me. I gotta tell you the truth. This is Carpolia heart, I know this. This is not for me. I'll have to call Professor Eddie Weber. He is the man for this." So they call Professor Weber, and he comes in. And he comes in and he takes the stethoscope and puts it on the little kid. He says, "This is not Scapola heart. This tick of this heart, this beat, is Pavolia heart. It's Pavolia heart. You must get Dr. Schnutz." So the father says, "Get him quick, please." So Professor Schnutz comes in, and he puts the stethoscope to the kid, and he says, "That's Pavolia heart. I know that tick. that kick into pieces before your heart. He turns to the father and said, how long has it been going on with the boy? He says, ever since he swallowed a watch this morning.
Well, Harry, you tied Senator on the preface. That got 600 on the Colgate.
I didn't know that Weber used that kind of a dialect.
He's hardly used anything. However, Harry did move up to 800 on the second one, so the balance is 1,400, neither of which counts. We'll skip over to Joe Laurie, Jr.
Well, I could tell the one about the honest grafter.
You could do that,
yeah. Tree surgeon. The one I want to tell is about two women get in the car, and when they're sitting down, one woman says, you know what? I didn't pay the conductor. I got by. I didn't pay to my fare. She says, well, that's terrible. Don't you know honesty is the best policy? Honesty pays. You shouldn't do a thing like that. Honesty is the best policy. You'll see that honesty pays through life. She says, well, all right, you make me feel bad. So she goes over. When she comes back, she says, you were right. Honestly, certainly pays. I gave him a quarter and he gave me change for a half a buck.
Well, Joe, the tree surgeon got you 250 on the Colgate Palmolive
shave. That I threw in. That's a branch joke.
Oh, I see. I thought you left me out on a limb for a while.
No.
But then you came up with a zooming
I know what about that, too.
Okay, how about you, Senator?
Well, no, I mean what he was talking about. A fellow went into a restaurant and he got a bowl of soup and he said to the waiter, hey, there's a twig in my soup. The waiter said, that's all right, we got branches all over.
I just thought of another bus story.
We're back to
you
the bus
the
again,
bus.
Well, go ahead. Drive off.
A crowded bus and two sailors come in. You know, good, rowdy sailors. And one wiggles himself into a seat, and the other sailor sits on his lap. And they're riding along like that way, and in comes a beautiful, luscious blonde. And the sailor in beneath there says, George, be a gentleman. Give the lady a seat.
Very good, Harry, and as well as you fellas tried, none of you were able to top from the start Mr. Cutts' original 1,000. So, sizing up the situation, we send Mr. Cutts $25 with the compliments of Colgate Dental Cream, plus a 1,000 club certificate. And in addition, we're sending Mr. Cutts a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling his story on the air. Well, let's start off with a brand new joke this time. This one comes from a lady who has a first name I never heard before, Mrs. Carried E. Hoagland of Akron, Ohio. And the subject of this round is, shouldn't happen to you, dentist. Dentist. So, Pete, you have enough pull. Let's see how you come out.
Well, this happened over in Brooklyn, and a girl rushed into a dentist's office.
She said, listen, and you, Dr. Jekyll, the dentist...
Doctor says, yes, miss, I'm Dr. Jekyll, I'm the dentist, but do you have an appointment?
She says, listen, Buster, when my tooth starts aching, it don't call me up for no reservation. I'm suffering. Awful, it's terrible, I'm suffering.
Well, he says, as a matter of fact, he says, I do have a few minutes, I'll examine it. Sit in the chair.
Well, she says, look out, I think it's my lower right bicuspidor down there. It's awful. It's driving me out of my mind.
Well, he says, how long has it been aching?
Well, she said, let me see now. It's been aching since last Easter. I remember because I was eating a spring chicken and I bit too hard on one of the springs and I broke it. It's been driving me crazy since last spring. It's been, I'm ready to wind up in one of those lunatic asylums or something. Said, just a minute, he says, young woman, you say this tooth has been torturing you like this since last spring? He says, why didn't you come to me sooner? He says, because, dopey, I heard on the radio you should go to your dentist every 6 months, and my 6 months only came around yesterday.
think I need enlighten you, Pete, but it was a... And also, needless to say, an automatic $25 from Mrs. Hoagland. So you fellas seem to be stymied for the second time tonight. However, nothing ventured, nothing gained as we move over to Harry Hirschfield.
Well, I think this is a screwball gang. There's a dentist sitting and he's very morose. He's got love affair. And he doesn't know whether the girl loves him or not. And he's upset. And in walks a guy with perfect teeth. He said, "Doctor, I've never, never been to a dentist. It's the first time. I have fine teeth, but I have one little tooth. I think that needs a filling. I wish you would attend to it." Doctor says, "Just let me see." He said, "Better give you gas. Do you ever have gas?" He said, "No." So he gave him gas, and while the guy's under the gas, he gets berserk, this dentist, about this girl, and he starts to take this fellow's teeth out. "She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not." After he took out all the teeth, this guy comes to. He says, "Gas ain't bad, but it certainly makes you talk funny."
Funny enough, too, Harry, that time. Funny enough to get 1,000 on the Colgate-Palmolive last meter, tying Mrs. Hoagland's $1,000, but not stopping it. So, Joe, what do you have to offer?
Well, I've got one to throw in here just a little bit. This is shorty. It's about a poor little kid, and he's talking to another kid. Oh, this poor little kid. He's got his old man's coat on and everything. He's a terrible-looking kid. And he says, "My father got a new set of teeth today." He says, "Yeah, what are you going to do with the old ones?" He says, "I guess they'll cut them down and make me wear them." The one I want to tell, though, Harry reminded me with all the teeth, folks. Mrs. Epstein goes to a dentist. And she says, their teeth are bothering me. So he looks, examines it, and says, "Mrs. Epstein, I'm sorry to tell you. We'll have to take every tooth out. They're impacted, they're bad. He says, "Oh, no, not the whole mouth." He says, "Every tooth in your head will have to come out." She says, "Do me a favor, please." He says, "What?" She says, "Please leave me one tooth." He says, "Why do you want one tooth?" She says, "Because when I smile, I should look pretty."
Thousands that time on the Colgate-Palmolive last meter, Joe, keeping everything intact as we move over to Senator Ford.
Well, you know, Harry, wherever anybody meets Harry, Harry's always telling jokes about two guys on a streetcar or something. He's always telling jokes. Well, I can tell this one on him because he told it to me. Not so long ago, he had trouble with his teeth. He went to the dentist, and of course, the first thing he did when he got in the chair was to start to tell jokes. So the dentist says, "Open your mouth," and he started to put in 4 yards of cloth and, you know, a lot of cotton and a half a pound of Brillo. And finally, Harry can't talk anymore. And he said, what's the idea of that? And the doctor says, "That's my gag."
"That's my gag and yours too, Senator. That was a zooming 1,000.
Well, I wasn't going to tell. I just threw that in, though.
Well, you threw it in. We're a little bit cramped for time. If you have a deal, we'll...
No, go ahead.
Well, you can't pass 1,000.
As long as it hit 1,000, what's you worrying about it?
Hit 1,000, but we still send Mrs. Hoagland $25 with a compliment of Palmolive shave creams plus a 1,000 club certificate. And in addition, we're sending her a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling her story on the air. Now, here's Dan Donaldson with the biggest shaving news in history.
Men, do you shave with a lather or brushless shave cream? Palmolive shave cream comes both ways, and whichever method you use, you'll find the new Palmolive shave cream way to shave means more comfortable, actually smoother shaves for 3 men out of every 4. Yes, 3 men out of every 4 get more comfortable, actually smoother shave the Palmolive shave cream way. It's a fact, men, not a promise. 2,548 men tried the new Palmolive way to shave, and no matter how they shaved before, 79% found beards easier cut, 75% less razor pull, 79% closer shaves, 80% smoother feeling skin. And 3 men out of every 4 got more comfortable, actually smoother shave. Just get Palmolive Shave Cream, either brushless or lather, and do this. Wash your face with soap and water. Rinse. Then soap face thoroughly again. Do not rinse. Work Palmolive Shave Cream upward into beard to get the full benefit of Palmolive Shave Cream's beard conditioning effect. Then shave. That's all. But remember, Palmolive Shave Cream, either brushless or lather, offers proof of more comfortable, actually smoother shaves for 3 men out of every 4.
Back to the joke business once again, fellas. Here's one submitted by Mary E. Lang of Fairfield, Connecticut, and it's on the subject of cooking. Cooking. You may have sampled some one place or another, so, Pete, let's see if you're on the front burner.
Well, it's about my friends, Mr. and Mrs. Fafufnik, and they're very happily married for years, except for one thing. He never liked her cooking, never seemed to like her cooking. And she read all these cookbooks, and she's making fancy dishes, never seemed to please him at all. She'd say,
hey, darling, did you enjoy the dinner? How was the sea lion steak?
He says, so how should it be? It's a steak.
Next day she'd say, hey, you like the chicken?
He says, so why should I like it? It's a chicken.
She just goes on and on and on, and finally she's in tears. She says, ever come here? I don't know what I've done to deserve this. She says, for years, ever since we was married, I've been cooking for you all the fancy schmancy dishes. I've been making you gorgeous things, lobster tetrachloride and veal scallop pinkish, and ever since, you never seem to enjoy it. I can't understand it. What's the matter? Why don't you like my cooking?
He said, all right, Daphne. He says, you ask me, I'll tell you. He says, it's the gravy. For 30 years, you've been putting on a gravy. I can't stand it.
She says, the gravy? So, Mr. Pickersnicker, what is wrong with my gravy?
He says, well, I don't know what's wrong, but it ain't like my mother used to make.
She says, well, why ain't it as good as your mother used to make?
He says, because the gravy my mother used to have a lot of nice little lumps in it. Utter air of confusion as to just what happened. I think I'd better tell you, Pete, that got exactly nuts. Instead of being in the gravy, you're in the soup with that. And so is Miss Lang, because having nothing, nothing ventured, nothing came. Let's see if you three fellas can top it. Harry?
I know a short one. Jonah Goldstein's favorite story. A panhandler comes up to a house, and a woman comes out. He says, I haven't eaten anything in 6 days. Will you give me something to eat?
He says, do you like cold noodle soup? He says, I'll eat anything. He says, come tomorrow. It's still warm.
Well, 1,000 should be enough to top nothing, Harry, which is exactly what we got to start with. So, Senator, how about you in this round?
Well, a young bridegroom came home to his new bride one night at the office. And he kissed her and he said, what's the matter? Your face smells funny. She said, I'm cooking out of a cookbook. The book says to rub an onion on your pan.
Give you fellas an inch and you take a mile. That's 2 1,000s now on the Colgate Palmolive of Laugh Meter, both slightly topping Miss Lang's zero hole. And so let's skip over to Joe Laurie Jr.
Well, a woman left her husband for a night. She went to visit her mother or something. When she come back the next day, she says, how'd you make out, honey? How'd you make out about supper? Yeah, I got along pretty good. I got along fine. She says, what'd you do? She says, well, I found a steak in the icebox. And then I cooked some onions that I found down the cellar. You found onions down the cellar? She says, those weren't onions. Those are my tulip bulbs.
Tulip bulbs or schmulip bulbs. It was 1,000, Joe, on the Colgate Palmolive Laugh Meter that time. So we had a perfect round that time against absolutely nothing. So Here are the sad figures for Miss Lang. She's the recipient now of $10 with the compliments of Palmolive Shave Cream. And if she can stand it, a copy of the joke as told by Peter Donald over the air. Recording, as a matter of fact. And also, to make her a little happier, a copy of that laugh-packed and brand-new Cream of the Crop joke book written by our three wits.
For the hair men love, try Luster Cream Shampoo. For hair that sparkles with silken softness, gleams with natural highlights, delights with clean fragrance. Luster Cream Shampoo is not a soap, not a liquid, but an amazing cream with lanolin and secret ingredients. Luster Cream Shampoo lathers like magic in hard or soft water, leaves hair soft, obedient. Try Luster Cream Shampoo. At all cosmetic counters, it's the cream shampoo for true hair loveliness.
Well, time has wasted away, fellas, so I'll ask the audience to join Can You Top This, originated by Senator Ford, next week. Same gang, other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Senator Ford.
Harry Hirschfield.
Hillary Jr.
One foot in the gravy, Donald.